So we left off yesterday, just beginning to try to analyze.
Rabbi, I think you're on mute.
I'm on mute, okay. Then we're definitely not analyzing. Hold on. Okay. All right, thank you for letting me know. Okay. So we left off yesterday, just beginning to analyze the major machlekes Rashi and Tosfos about the guidelines, the parameters of mitoch. So this machlekes is definitely impacting on the Hamad Beis, because Tosfos on the spot said that even though our Gemara is very clear that the reason why Rabbi Akiva does not permit the burning of chametz on Yom Tov is because Rabbi Akiva is following the view of Beis Shammai, implying that if he would follow the view of Beis Hillel, everything would be hunky dory, everything would be great. So Tosfos is quick to point out, even though Beis Hillel also agreed that you need a tzarech hayom, clearly this would constitute a tzarech hayom. So Tosfos says, fine, we're okay, we're good to go. This would be a tzarech hayom, but you do need a tzarech hayom in a Torah. This is, of course, the Shitaso in Beit Tzedafid Beis, that when Beis Hillel said the famous words of Mitoch, Chutrinami Shalol Tzarech, Shalol Tzarech did not mean Shalol Tzarech Klal. It just meant Shalol Tzarech Lechol Nefesh, but Tzarech Hayem Tzas Mi'abu'inan, Min HaTorah. And this is in stark contrast to Shittas Rashi, where Rashi says in Beit Tzedafid Beis that there is no need for any Tzarech whatsoever, Min HaTorah for sure not, Chutrinami Shalol Tzarech Klal, 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 Klal. So let's analyze this machlekes Rashi and Tosfos and begin by discussing the Gemara in Beit Tzedah, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav, because that was the Gemara that Tosfos picked up upon. It was a pivotal Gemara in terms of this machlekes. So the Gemara presents in Daf Mem Vav a whole machlekes on Maroim Rabin Rav Chisda about an eifim yantav l'chol. Am I permitted, at least in a Torah, to cook from yantav to after yantav? So the starting point of the entire sugi is absolutely not. Min al Torah yechai malkus disaster. And yet, almost through the back door, Rabbah ends up permitting it, at least in a Torah, because of Hoil. Since the guests may show up, so therefore we can never really view it as being cooking for tomorrow. It's really considered to be halachically like cooking still for today. It's still basically cooking for the same day. So therefore, we can hide behind Tzarech Hayom. But if it would really truly be for tomorrow, if you're on a desert island and there are no guests, so in a chinami, it would taka be also in a Torah. And that's exactly where Rav Chisda denied Hoel actually holds from. So Tosfos took this Gemara and says, this Gemara is an absolute raya bur against Rashi. Rashi's right. The mitoiches mata everything, even shalot are a klal. What am I wasting the time for? What am I pilpering about? If you're cooking for tomorrow, if you're cooking for no reason whatsoever, that's also mutter min haTorah. So that's a big, big pella. That's kind of where we left off yesterday. We barely began to scratch the surface of the answer to that question. So before we go to answer that question, let's just backpedal for a moment and make sure we really appreciate and understand the significance of this Gemara. Because this Gemara is going to be the Gemara that's going to make it or break it for Rashi and Tosfos. So what did the Gemara say again? It's chazer for a second. Rabbi the Chiddush. Torah, you can cook for tomorrow. My plan is cooking for tomorrow. We don't care what your plan is. We care about the theoretical. Guests may show up. It's all that really matters to us. It doesn't matter what your plan is. Gewaltige matir, unbelievable matir. And Rav Chisda didn't buy into it. Rav Chisda said, we deal with the world of reality, not a world of theory. If you don't have any guests on the agenda, that's called cooking for chol. Very, very lumdisha, halachic, philosophical, machshavatik, machlokes. Do we follow what your real plan is, or what your theoretical, what could actually result, whether you plan for it or not? So the Gemara relates this machlokes, Rabbi and Rav Chisda, to a very, very challenging issue. And that's the institution of Erev Tavshilin. You want to explain the Gemara a little bit? We all know, everybody knows, the first mission, the Sechber Rebbeitz, it tells us when you have a Yanta falls out on Friday, how in the world are you going to cook for Shabbos? In the olden days, you couldn't cook food 3 days before and freeze it and store it. There's no way to store it. Food would spoil. So you have a Yanta going into Shabbos. There's no way to have food for Shabbos unless you cook on Yanta. So Chazal was dealing with this problem, this dilemma. How are we going to cook on Yanta? How are we going to have food to eat on Shabbos? It's a big problem. If it would have been a big problem in HaTorah, we would have just thrown our hands up and says, okay, it's one of the many problems in HaTorah that we can't solve. But the Gemara says very clearly, Pesachim Mem Vav, that it's the only problem in the Rabbanim. And midrabbanan, we should have just been martyred outright. It's our Shabbos. After all, we have to have food for Shabbos, so we're going to be martyred. Whatever is the rabbanan, there is involved. So Gemara was not comfortable. Chazal were not comfortable being martyred outright because they felt it's going to lead to a big zilzul. Because if you let people cook from Yontif to Shabbos, for some reason it's going to be mutter, we don't know why. The next thing you know is they're going to cook it from Yontif to Chol. It's going to lead to a big breakdown of his Yontif. So therefore, Chazal Baruch Kodesham came up with the following Gevalga idea. Gevalga Eitzah. We're going to tell the Oilam that you're not really allowed to cook for tomorrow. But Rabbi, we got to cook for tomorrow. We're going to tell the Oilam like this. You can't really cook for tomorrow. You have to really cook from before. But what you could do is you could put the final touches on tomorrow. And we can extend a little bit the definition of what's called the final touches. Final touches means, as long as you started the cooking process from before Yontif, we're going to let you continue on Yontif proper. What does that mean to begin the cooking process? You take a piece of gefilte fish, Erev Yontif, and you'll cook it up Erev Yontif. You take an egg Erev Yontif, a piece of chicken Erev Yontif, you start cooking a little bit Erev Yontif, and then when Yontif arrives, you can finish all day, all afternoon Yontif. You cook chulens and soups and kugels and chickens and fish. You name it, a 10-course meal, because you started already with the Odio. And that, of course, is known to us as the institution of Erev Tavshilin. That's what we do in Erev Tavshilin. We take a Tavshil. It was Machlekes Rebbe Tam and Dari, where you have to take a piece of bread also. So we do both, just the SSAs. So we take a challah roll, a matzah, a piece of fish, or an egg, or a chicken, or something like that. And we begin the cooking process Erev Yontif. We declare this is the beginning. We make a bracha, which is Erev. And then we continue our merry way cooking the entire day Yontif. So the Gemara is very, very clear in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis that this is a game. This is a joke. This only works because the Yisra is only midirabban. If it would have been an Yisra deraisa, gefilte fish is not matar in Yisra deraisa. Gefilte fish maybe can be matar in Yisra derabban, but not in Yisra deraisa. So why is there no problem in a Torah? Gevalt of cooking, shalol atzer chayayim, why is there no problem in a Torah? This is where Pesachim and Vav kicks in. This is where Rabbah comes to the rescue. What does Rabbah say? You know why there's no problem in a Torah? Because of what principle? What's the real principle that's matar to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos midiraisa? What's the real engine? Hoil, guests may show up. And since guests may show up, so min ha-Torah is never a problem anyway. Midirabbanan, Chazal didn't want to rely on Hoil. Midirabbanan, they lifted the Issa Dirabbanan of relying on Hoil, but Makam Tzarech Shabbos, provided that you started beforehand in Erev Tashu'im. That's the background of Erev Tashu'im. That's how Mitzvah Erev Tashu'im works. The entire Erev Tashu'im is all Midirabbanan, all made up Midirabbanan, but the problem deraisa was long solved based on the principle of Hoil. And of course, according to Rav Chisda, who denies, oh, well, he's got to give a different understanding of how Erev Tavshilin works, but again, we're not learning Mem Vav Amud Beis right now. So as an aside, perhaps now we can appreciate a very, very strange man of Chazal. Melamech Avmavinu Kiyam Kol HaTorah Kula Afilu Erev Tavshilin. Avmavinu kept all the mitzvahs, the raises, the rabbi, he figured it all out, Baruch HaKadosh, we spoke about this on Thanksgiving. He figured it all out, Baruch HaKadosh, even mitzvahs, the rabbanon. And of all the mitzvahs, the rabbanon, the Chazal picked on, what happened to the Tel Shaddayim? What happened to Erev Shabbos? What happened to Chris Ha'ara? Erev Tavshilin, that's the one that Avraham Avinu picked on. Afil Erev Tavshilin. What kind of joke is that? Afil Erev Tavshilin, what does that mean? So many of the Mefarshim say, the Chazal B'dayik B'lashenim, the entire mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin is predicated on what premise? There's a yisod that must be true in order for Erev Tavshilin to kick in. What is that?
Hoil.
Hoil, B'dayik, who? Who's going to come? Mikulilei?
Orchim.
Me want to go to Avraham Avinu and Machnas Ereach. Avraham Avinu taught Klal Yisrael the significance of Machnas Orchim, and therefore it's only thanks to Avraham Avinu that we have the institution of Erev Tavshilin. If not for Avraham Avinu's Chiddush of Machnas Orchim, we would never have Erev Tavshilin with Manazah. It's a cute part. Okay. Now I get back to the real stuff. It's also real stuff. Yeah. I don't know, Kashi, you can't ask a Kashi on Jewish. That's not a fair question. Okay? So back to our story now. Back to the Lumbus of the Sugya. So Taisa the Kashi against Rashi. How can you tell me that Shalol Tzarchiyam Klal is Mutter? Why did the Maroim drain us a cup with oil? What do you need oil for? Typically, we should be Taich. So we saw at the very end of the Shia yesterday, Shit Mekubetzes, in the Eitzah, it says that in Hochinami, the question is better than any answer you're going to give, that in Hochinami, Shit Mekubetzes, in the Eitzah, that if you really believe in mitoch, then there is no need for hovil. The entire sugya on daf vav m'sachim is all denying mitoch. If you don't accept mitoch, then come the Amorim and have a big fight about what about hovil. But if you really truly buy into mitoch, then the game's over. Mitoch itself is the matter. In the matter will be said. So of course, this is a very, very difficult shem kubes. Was left hanging yesterday. Somebody denies mitoch. How can anybody deny mitoch? Beis Hillel says you're allowed to carry a baby carriage. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to carry a lulav. You're allowed to carry a sefer Torah. How in the world could anybody deny within Shitas Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai denies mitoch. Good morning. Okay, that's not gonna hurt me. Now, how can anybody say with a straight face that Beis Hillel denies mitoch? And again, how could you carry any on this? So this is not the Shimon Kubetz's problem. This is the Amoraim's problem. There are Amoraim who deny mitoch. If you look at Beit Steffi Beis, you'll see there are Amoraim who don't learn mitoch. We happen not to be one of those Amoraim, but there are Amoraim who deny mitoch. So those Amoraim, how do they say pshat? How do they say taich in Beis Hillel? So they say the following. Hotzah was never a surah on Yontif. Hotzah was never on Shabbos. It was never on Yontif. Mitoch is assuming that this malacha really is asur, and now we have to figure out at Eitzah Kunz how to get around doing it. So we have a chiddush galah called mitoch. This is better than mitoch. This is saying that Hotzah was never from the malacha's Yontif altogether. It was never asur b'chlal on Yontif. Catch this one. There are only 38 malachas on Yontif. Leave out of our law Yontif. Hotzah was never nesur on Yontif b'chlal. If it was never usher, then you don't need a matir. Of course it's about to carry a baby. Of course it's about to carry a loop. Of course it's about to carry a sefer Torah. It was never usher in the first place. So that's a huge machlokes amoraim within Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel batir and Beis Hillel shtei beferish and carry a lulav in a shayfer. What's the lumdus of Beis Hillel? So one day in the Gemara, the way we pask it is based on mitoch. And the other day in the Gemara, you don't need mitoch. It's better than mitoch. Hotzah was never usher altogether. What kind of joke is that? We know Tzol was never also on Yontif. Isn't Tzol also on Shabbos? What's the answer? Well, it must be that it's an Issa Shalom B'Teiras what? Shalom B'Teiras Melocha. It's Shalom B'Teiras Melocha. And therefore, invoking the revolt from last week, whatever is also Shalom B'Teiras Melocha doesn't spill over to Yontif. So that's the other pshat in Beis Hillel. According to the Shit Mekubetzes, that's Rabbi and Rav Chisda's other pshat in Beis Hillel. So even though between you and me, we don't pass it, we pass it in the Riz Mitach. But however, also the other name of a milzer, we have to understand this other approach, because according to the Gemara and Beitza, there are definitely Amoraim buying into this. According to the Shit Mekubetzes and Beitza, half the Gedalia Amoraim are buying into this. Rabbi and Rav Chisda, the whole Sukh of Hoyel, Psachim and Vav is buying into this Shita. So Baruch Hashem, we spent the whole week learning the Rivah and talking about the Yontif Shabbos equation, lack thereof. We should be able to add something intelligent to this discussion. So let's think about this for a moment. Let's take that position that the reason why we told a matah to carry a lulav, push a baby carriage, is because a tzah is not really a malach on Shabbos. It's not a malach on Shabbos, and therefore it's okay on Yontif. How does that sit with you, Rabbi Yisrael? Do you like that model? Do you like that idea?
The pasuk seems to be against it.
What pasuk?
By Avir Rakom Machanet, El Tu Malachan, which was the Hotzah.
I'm not questioning that Hotzah is also on Shabbos. But I'm just suggesting that Hotzah is also on Shabbos, similar to Rabbi Yaisi's Havara, similar to Shvisa's Behem and Mechamer. Similar to Tchumin.
But the term malacha is used when Moshe says, don't carry.
Mr. Walter's not letting me go. Okay. Let me find to what I'm going to say. What's really bothering me, I think Mr. Walter's really bothered with it as well, what's really bothering me is that I understand Tosis back in the family days, when Tosis tried to say his story, that if you hold Havar L'Av Yotzis, it's not a malacha. What was it about Havar L'Av Yotzis that made it not malacha, Rabbi? So what characteristic did Havara present to us to let us to believe that it's not a malacha?
Well,
It was what? The Pasuk taught me something. What did it teach me? That it's... What characters I have in Isra the Torah called Havara. I have 38 malachas. What led me to think that Havara is not a malacha? What leads me to think that Chumen is not a malacha? What leads me to think Shizbein is not a malacha? What's the answer? There's a certain characteristic that malachas have that these things are missing. A certain gene that they're missing. What is it?
What? Their constructive activities in the world.
Skila! Havar l'lav yatzis means there's no skill on it. What led the Rivat to such a wild conclusion that's not a malacha? He said, well, very simply, skila is always the einish from malacha Shabbos. Kala isav malacha yumas. And now come the Torah Kadesh and throws at us another ma'isa called Havara without a skila, out of skila. That gufa is the proof that it's not a malacha. But for Hotzah, Aval Yechai Skil and Hotzah. That's not a Shaila Yechai Skil and Hotzah. Nobody ever questioned that. So if Yechai Skil and Hotzah, Yechai Karas and Hotzah, Yechai Chatz and Hotzah, so my high man is standard to say such a wild shot that, no, sorry, Hotzah doesn't apply to Yotif. Why is it any more mistab than say that, I'm sorry, that Kosev doesn't apply to Yotif? I want to do my homework on Yotif. Kosev doesn't apply to Yotif. Or man, bone doesn't apply to Yom Tov. Chayrish doesn't apply to Yom Tov. What was it about Hotzah that gives us almost the chutzpah to make such a statement? It's not called a malacha, and therefore it doesn't carry over to Yom Tov. So again, this is all within the day that we don't accept within Das Beis Hillel. We paskin that the Emes Labitai is according to Beis Hillel, is that the reason why you're allowed to push the baby carriage is because of mitoich. That also has a full-fledged malacha on yontif, it's just that it has a quirk, with a corollary of mitoich. But there are gedolei amoraim who didn't see that in Beis Hillel. According to Shimon Kubetzes, there's an entire sugya in Pesachim that doesn't see that. Rav and Rav Chisda didn't see that within Beis Hillel. So we have to make some sense of the shita, especially since we spend so much time on the Rival, we have to be able to understand what these amoraim are saying. And just to hide behind and say, well, it's not a malacha, therefore call it a day, and it's mutar and yontif, sounds very, very far-fetched, because there's nothing about Hotzah that doesn't make it a malacha. There's a sugya that appears in Masechta Shabbos, in the beginning of Perek HaZerik. The Gemara has a startling statement. Very, very startling question. The Gemara says, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? V'ishtet, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So Mr. Alter is correct. The Gemara question, psukim, a whole array of psukim, a pashas for Yakel. Moshe's trying to raise money for the Mishkan, and everyone's bringing all the donations, and then it's Shabbos, he tells them to stop bringing it. It's the first and last time ever there was an appeal for any Moshad that they said, please, we have too much money. And that's what happened to Mishkan. Too much money. Don't bring any more. Al Yasul Ayd Lavi. So there was a whole razzle dazzle drasha. Those psukim to explain that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them stop is because they were carrying on Shabbos. They were bringing the gold and silver on Shabbos. Ve'aviru koma machaneh ish ish layasul. Stop bringing. Hamalach ha'isadayam. Stop bringing on Shabbos. Mikan, they're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. What's bizarre about this Gemara? What's strange about this Gemara?
Why don't we just say Hotzah is a malacha and you can't do it because it's a malacha, just like every other malacha?
You mean, what made you believe that it was a malacha before this Gemara? What made you believe it was a...
The fact you have to ask us means that we don't know it's a malacha. It's so, put into a category outside of every other malacha.
So wait. So you're answering. So what's hard about this Gemara? What's spell about this Gemara? You started saying. Did they do Hotzah the Mishkan or not? So the Gemara, the fourth part of Shabbos says, Heim helu krushim min ha'agolos min ha'ritzba la'agolos v'heim ha'ridus ha'krushim min ha'agolos la'ritzba. Gemara says, part of the construction of the Mishkan, they had to carry the crushim, they had to put the crushim onto the wagons, off the wagons, onto the wagons, off the wagons. The wagon was Rishus HaYochid. The Digla Midbar was Rishus HaRab. And the Gemara says, Mikani, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. The Gemara says, it was one of the Lamatas Malachas. I don't understand. Does the Gemara ever say, gee, by golly, HaKaisi Bezesius is Chayv and Shabbos. Bino Hanimili. What's the Pasuk? No such Gemara. How do you know you're not allowed to do osa shtei bate nirin if you can't figure out what in the world that is? Don't make shtei bate nirin. Why does the Gemara not question each and every one of the 39 halachas? The answer is obvious. Because the Torah says l'sasaka malacha. You look up in a halachapedia, what's the definition of malacha? So the Torah already told us that there's a smichas parashas between malachas and mishkan and Shabbos, which has taught us long ago that the definition of malacha in the Torah is anything that was used in the construction of the mishkan. So l'maisa hotzah was done as part of the construction of the mishkan. They had to carry the boards. So why did the Gemara wake up at the beginning of Perkei Zerach and say, oh, by golly, why is Hatzah also in Shabbos? Why is it also in Shabbos? What's the book? Because it was part of the Lamentas Malachas. That's why it's also in Shabbos. The Gemara needs a special pasuk to tell me somehow, what's a Chiddush HaTorah you can't carry in Shabbos. What is Chiddush HaTorah? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows if it was done in part of the Mishkan, it was part of the Mishkan finished. Mayai Manish Tad Hatzah. So Tosfos is a very, very famous Taras to this Kasha. Tosfos repeats this at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, then later on Masechet Shabbos. Every couple hundred plotters, so Tosfos has the same Yisoid. What's the Yisoid? That Hotzah is a Malacha Gerua. Although Hotzah did take place in the Mishkan, it's not a real bona fide Malacha. And therefore, it was conceivable that just because it took place in the Mishkan, it wouldn't necessarily have been also in Shabbos. I need a special pasuk to tell me, Afa Pichain, it's also in Shabbos. But if not for that pasuk, I would not have just called it part of the other 39 malachas. I would have said, yes, it was done in the Mishkan, true, but irrelevant because it's the malacha gerua. And what is so gerua about Hotzah? So some of the Bisharim say, the giron, the deficiency of Hotzah is very simple. Nothing changed. When I write on a piece of paper, I used to have a blind piece of paper, now I have my name written on it. I used to have a raw egg, now I have a cooked egg. I used to have a carrot that was connected to the ground, now I have a carrot that's detached from the ground. I used to have a broken pot, now I have a fixed pot. Machmavatish. I used to have a bottle of water, and now I have a bottle of water. It used to be indoors, now it's outside. What do you do? How does that change the cheftza from the bottle of water? Nothing changed. So Hotzah is a gewaltige Chiddush HaTorah. It's not really a malacha. Shmis Dalton is a malacha. It was done. But it's not really a malacha. Because it's a malacha gerua. And therefore, you talk, I need a pasuk to tell me that's also luvay the pasuk. I wouldn't have said it necessarily on my own. And perhaps that's the svar of those Amoraim who say that does not carry over to Yontif. And the reason why the Hillel says Matirin, but Hillel permits you to push a baby carriage, is not because of Mitoich. We never heard of Mitoich. Nobody ever heard of Mitoich. And it's still mutter to push a baby carriage. Because Hotzah is done in Malach altogether. So wow. We have now four different Mahalchim. If we collect Tanoim, Amoraim, and Rishayim, and you span Jewish history, I could find four different ways of looking at pushing a baby carriage on Yontif. What a longus. All I want to do is take my kid for a walk. I push my baby carriage out the front door, into the street on Yontif. And I have four fundamentally different ways of looking at this. Let's see if we can count them all. The biggest machmir, Shem machmir, mahu? Who's the biggest machmir? Allah shittas Bishamai. According to Bishamai, it's an issa gomel min haTorah. Hotzah is also the derais in Yontif. Bishamai didn't buy into this home like a ruah store. Hochagad, I just told you, is null and void, but levutal. Bishami says Hotzah is like any other malacha. And the only matter whatsoever is Eichel Nefesh, and you're not eating your baby, and therefore, it's also with the Raisa with the Chiyam Alves. That's Bishami, the biggest extreme. Now, Beis Hillel says it's okay. Why do Beis Hillel say it's okay? So one of three possibilities. Either Beis Hillel says it's okay because Hotzah is not also on Yontif. It never was, never is, never will be. It's a malacha gerua. It was never nischach on Yontif. It's like a form of aviyot, according to the Riva. Ayat skil on Shabbos, okay, but still different. It's still malacha gerua. It's not quite like Havar, this Nishke Malacha, but Malacha Gerua. Malacha's Gerua don't carry over the Yantif. So that was the beer of who? Of some Lona Meira in Beit Sadaf Yerbeis, and Rav and Rav Chizdim Sachem Daf Rambav, who denied Mitaych, and saw an entirely different reason to be out there pushing the baby carriage. That's Shita number two. Shita number three is more conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom is that it's mutter based on mitoich. Hotzor really taki is a malacha. B'sham is taka right on that point. But we basil next week subscribe to mitoich. And now you have Rashi's version of mitoich that you don't need any tzarech hayom whatsoever. I want to push the baby cash for no reason. I hate pushing my baby cash. I can't stand it. I get no simchas hayom out of it. But I'm going to do it anyway. And Rashi says, that's okay. There's no tzarech hayom. It's still all right because mitoich is a mantel legamri. And now you have Taisus, is the fourth sheet, and says, no, not so fast. To push your baby cash for no reason, there's no heter. But you need a reason, you need a tzarech. What's called the tzarech? Simchas Yontif, Gavaldik, that sheet number four. And to be truthful, there's the fifth sheet. It's Rebbeinu Chananel. I mentioned it under my breath the other day. Rebbeinu Chananel says, when the Mishnah says you can take the baby out, that means for the bris mila. You're taking the baby to his own bris. So Rebbeinu Chananel apparently understood tzarech hamila is called tzarech hayayim. Going for a shpatzir and yontif is nish tzarech hayayim. So you have five different women, lom d'shuay, one baby carriage. One baby carriage, and you have five different b'halchem as to how to understand the lomdus in this baby carriage. It's a gevaldik azach. We'll talk about it hopefully a little bit later on the sugya. There's a shayla. When you push a baby carriage out of the air of a yontif, what if you have things in the carriage that you don't really need? So is that mutter according to Rashi? Yeah, according to Tosfos. No, Rebbe Shurin say maistif. It's very, 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 very lomdish. So I remember when we used to live in the Heights. So back in the old days, there was no air of bichlal in the Heights. So the only time we would ever get out the door on would be on yontif. How many yom tov do you stay in yeshiva? So Pesach we're in yeshiva. Sukkot's not in yeshiva. Shon and Shavuos were the only yom tov that potentially were in yeshiva. So remember, one year was Shavuos, and we're going to take that big shpatzir. Almost a big, 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 big shpatzir to the other side of the Heights where my daughter was a baby at the time. I mean, Meach wasn't even born yet. Yeah, 6 months old, whatever it was. It was going to be the biggest thing. We're going to actually go out the door with a baby carriage on a Yom Kaddush of Yom Tov of Shavuos. So excited. So then I started playing around with what's in the stroller. So is there extra this, extra that. Is this the tzarech? I'm not tzarech. I'm Rebbe Shurin, not Rebbe Shurin. By the time we finished, I had so ruined the Simchas Hayayim so my wife pushed the carriage. I went along. I went along for the walk. Okay. Back to the story, my son. Back to the story. So we have Taisa's attack against Rashi, and the Shibu Kubetz's defense that in Ochinami, if you really believe in Mitaych, the Mitaych is matter everything, you don't even believe. But Rabbi said there's another Bir Hadavar in the Sugi Maseches Pesach Daf Mem Vav. We do not want to go down the route of the Shibu Kubetz's and delegate that Sugi in Pesach Mishalaki Halacha. You wouldn't have a cake and eat it. Can somebody formulate the following mahalach for me? Rashi is right. And you still can't cook me for l'chol, mayant of l'chol, unless the oil. Rashi is 100% right. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to do anything you want on yontif within those malachas that are covered by mitoich. Not everything is covered by mitoich. But within those malachas that's covered by mitoich, everything goes. The green light, and I tell you, do whatever you please. Shalom tzarchayim klal, klal, klal. V'yachav b'chein, oif mi yantul chol, and this is derayis alu lehoil. Unlike the Shibuk Betz, the Taisus found untenable position. They don't want to defend that position. If I had a blackboard here, and I had to put up two things on the board, one would be called Malacha Shelo Letzarech Klal, and the other would be called Malacha Letzarech what?
Us?
Malacha Ha'ifim Yantif L'what? Ha'ifim Yantif L'what?
Oh.
L'chol. I'm cooking for after Yantif. I'm doing a malacha l'shem machar for after Yontif's over. Taisus assumed as the Dover Poshut that a malacha done for tomorrow cannot be any worse than a malacha done for no reason. I would like to suggest that it can be worse. When you do malacha, shalot v'chal, that's a blank, that's a neutral. When you do malacha l'chol, that's an X. That is worse, significantly worse, and even Rashi would concede that that's also mitoich. That is not mitoich. Mitoich is mat shalot l'tzorach klal. Mitoich is not a mat l'tzorach machar, l'tzorach chol. And therefore, Rav Chista said, "If miyantum l'chol is also mitoich, you have malchus." And the only thing Rabbi could do to salvage you from getting you from Malchus is to pull in the guests from left field and say, well, it's not really Machar. I don't care what you're thinking, but since Lamais, the Elamas HaYedim guests may show up on Ravinu's Yerushim, Machar's Zorcha may happen. And therefore, Rabbi agrees that if it would really truly be Miyat of Lechol, we'd be on a desert island and no choice, no chance of a guest, but Tachabi, and it's a Dereisa. The only reason why it falls short is because it's still called the Tzorach Hayom. We could read the Sar Relief Tank Techlas Zorachim. There's a Taisim Tzorachim that says that what if it's unbelievably unlikely guests are going to come? Almost not shy they're going to come. So Taisim says, you know what? Then you don't say Hayom. This is a big, big Diyun. It's a big Tomo. Where's Pesach? Where's Pesach? So Achra, which day was the first day of Pesach last year? It was Shabbos, I don't remember anymore. Shabbos was the first day, right? So what? Friday, that was the first day. So Achra Shabbos Pesach was Shabbos. So we had to make an Erev Tavshilin. Right? You want to cook on Friday for Shabbos, then you didn't need an Erev Tavshilin. And the second day is Yom Tov. So the only way Erev Tavshilin works is because when you have Torah, you rely on Hohol. That's what we said before. Like, if not for Hohol, then Erev Tavshilin would be a joke. So some Rabbanim raised the red flag last Pesach. Can you make an Erev Tavshilin and cook on Friday? What was the problem?
No guests are going to come.
Guests ain't coming because we're in the middle of COVID. And nobody was coming to anybody on Pesach. Even the people who are mezalzel now, and I use that word mezalzel, but then, Ishlo Ne'edar, nobody was having company, to the best of my knowledge, on Pesach last year. Nobody. How could you have an Erev Tavshilin? So tell him. How could you cook? It's a Shavuot D'Oraisa. Good cash, you know? So I thought the answer was as follows. Rashi writes in Pesachim, what do you mean, Oif Miyat V'chol? What are the words, Oif Miyat V'chol? Why am I cooking V'chol? I'm going to eat later today. The food's going to be ready for the guests, so I'll eat it also. You know what Rashi writes? I finished eating lunch today. Rashi, it's inconceivable. I'm going to eat later. I'm going to sit down and have chon later in the afternoon today. I'm going to sit down and have a bowl of soup later in the afternoon. I ain't finished. I'm stuffed to the gills. I'm not going to eat anymore today. So Rashi says, the only reason we have to fall back on the guests is because it's understood the guy's not going to eat anymore. Because he finished lunch, a Yom Tov meal, who's going to eat anymore? Rabbi said, one of the early stats that came out at the beginning of COVID is that people were gaining a lot of weight. You know why? Because they were doing nothing. We were sitting around, no one was going to shul, no one was going anywhere. People were tittering, and what do people do when they sit around the house? There's a lot of good food, they eat it. So people were gaining weight. I think there was a study done in Eretz Yisrael that there was mamish a significant weight gain during the early couple of months of COVID. Interesting byproduct of this crisis. Lefini is the idea, I said this with the utmost seriousness. I said, Bizman COVID, you don't need the guests to be matir. You're the biggest guest of yourself. Even Rav Chisda would be matter. Because just because the guy ate lunch, he's still going to be munching. He's still going to be snapping away because he's not doing anything. He's not learning. He's not davening. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting around and shaking and nervous. So he eats more. So, aim the chatzor chayim, golem is there. So, his matter, this is their isa based on that svar. I thought that was the mamash, the matter, this is their isa cooking on Yom Tov Shabbos because of that svar. Okay, back to the story. Okay, so Rabbi say, so you hear what we're trying to sell according to Rashi? An unbelievable word to deflect Tezis Kasha. The Tzarech Mocher is worse than Shlo Tzarech Lal. How can I say such a thing without a Mocher? How can I say it without a Pasuk? What kind of story? What kind of book lights is that?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's awesome in a Torah to cook for tomorrow, but it's mutab in a Torah to cook for no reason. If I decide 3 o'clock in the afternoon and Yantav, I'm going to cook and throw the food into the garbage, that's okay. But if I'm cooking for tomorrow's lunch, that's it, it's a deraisa. I didn't say why it's true. I'm trying to suggest this to answer Rashi. This is the clear answer to Rashi. If you don't want to go down the Shulchan Kubetzes and throw out half of the Gemara's Pesach Memvav, you want to have your, no pun intended, have your food and eat it, have your cake and eat it, and keep the necessity for Ho'il, and still hold Shulchan Tzachi Yom Klal is okay, then you have to create that statement on the blackboard that says that cooking for tomorrow is significantly worse than cooking Shulchan Tzachi Yom Klal. I want to know, what's that based on? How can I say such a thing? So I'll tell you what I think it's based on. The Finnish state. Ach ashe yirachel l'chol nefesh hu levado yirachel l'chem. Comes the Gemara second back of Beitza and starts rattling off the rushes that are derived from the word l'chem. L'chem is a meal. For you, my tired Yiddish kinder, you could cook for yourselves to eat and carry. You can do a lot of things in Yontif. But if you choose to cook for the following, you may not do so. Who are some of the people? Whoever's not Lachem. Who's not Lachem? Lachem the Liakul. No, they cook for non-Jews in Yontif. That's an Issa Gomer Minatari. Cook for going nuns. Issa Deraisa. That's why the Gemara Beitza says you're not supposed to invite a guy to your house for Yontif. Be a Shabbos, but you can't Yontif, you're not allowed to. Because they were afraid you may come to feed, you could add on more food for him. Rishon Mamekel, let's say, it's someone who works in your house, like a babysitter. I'm not like inviting them, I'm not going to have them, I'm not going to be mechabed them and make them a whole special dish. But if I invite a neighbor, I invite somebody as a chosh of a guest for Yom Tovil, that's a problem. So Lachem V'lo L'Yakov. Who else is included in Lachem V'lo L'Hu?
What? Kolovim.
Kolovim, you're allowed to feed the dogs. You can feed the dogs, you can't cook feed the dogs. I want to cook dog food on Yom Tovil. I want to carry dog food on Yom Tov. Can't do it. It's also min haTorah to, if there's no area, if you want to keep whatever it is, whatever malachas you want to do. Lachem v'lo l'klavim. Lachem v'lo l'yachum. One of the early years when we got married, we used to always go for Yom Tov. Pesach and Sukkot, we always go to California to Maimos. So one of the early years after we got married, so it was Sukkot, and one of the neighbors had gone away for Yom Tov, and he asked one of my younger brother-in-laws to feed the cats every day the week of Yom Tov Cholamoy. So he was a little scared. There were like 20 cats running around the backyard. So he was a little afraid to go himself. So I said, I'll go with you. I'll come with you. I'll walk you over there. So I see he's carrying like a whole bunch of like cans of cat food and stuff. So I told him I can't help him carry the cat food. I don't like to rely on the Eruv. So everybody, wow, it's Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. He said, no. This is my only time in life to fulfill the dinner. Lachem lo lechatulim, lachem lo lechlam. I'm not allowed to carry cat food. The fish itasi, then maybe there's no, the air is no good. No good. I'm sitting there. My chumra, I don't want to follow the air. So for me to carry the cat food would be a problem. But I felt bad. So I said, besides the cat food, he's also carrying a package of napkins. I said, what do you need the napkins for? He said, after he feeds the cats, his hands get dirty, so he wants to be able to wipe his hands off of that. Okay, the napkins for you. The napkins, the Tzarech Yisrael. Lachem Tzarech Yisrael, that's okay. To have clean hands, that's the Tzarech Yisrael. So he carried the cat food and I carried the napkins. Okay, everybody said, back to the story. So it's also been a Torah to cook for Goyim, carry for Goyim, cook for the dogs, carry for the dogs. What's the nature of this din? What do you think the Torah has against cooking for the Goyim, cooking for the dogs? What's so terrible? You want to cook on your own, what's so good? What do you think the nature that exists across Lachem Baloy Laploini, Lachem Laklav Lach is all about? What is the common denominator between the dogs, the cats, and the non-Jews? For them, it's not what? What? It's not Yom Tov for them. Yom Tov doesn't speak to them. It's not that we have anything against the Goyim, against the Klavim. We like them, but it's not Yom Tov for them. You're allowed to do malachas on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to do malachas on Yom Tov for after for Zman Chol. A dog on Yom Tov is a Zman Chol. For a non-Jew on Yom Tov is a Zman Chol. Rashi learns That this gzeres across from a chemo yachil a club. It's not just stop gzeres across from the anti the cooking for the dogs. That's not that. We're not against them. We like the dogs. The dogs are man's best friend. It could be a best friend from day to month, but it's this yontif. And cooking shalom yontif is a problem. So Rabbi say, ayfer yontif l'chol. The starting point of sochem and vav is it's awesome to arise and to cook for tomorrow. You know why? Even though if you want to cook on yontif, throw the food into the garbage, that's okay. Because then I'm cooking for yontif. It's not a tzorech yontif, but Rashi holds you don't need a tzorech yontif. Tosfos would say cooking and throwing the garbage is a neder aisa, but Rashi holds that's mutabi lagamri. So there's no need to have a tzerech hayoyim, but what you can't have is a tzerech chol. Because if you have a tzerech chol, that's nichlan, the gzeres, the kosm, the chem, the yak, the chem, the chlom, because it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with goyim, dogs, and cats. That's not the problem. The common denominator of all those people is, it's nish yontif for them. And you're not allowed to cook, shalol yontif. That's why Tzipi Pesach Fein quotes some Achareb had a wild, unbelievable chumrah. Then, if I have a Ben Eretz Yisrael in my house on Yom Tov Sheni, so we know they're not allowed to do malach because of the virus, and other kinds of things, they're not allowed to do malach. But the Maase, it's not really Yom Tov for them. Haraya, they down for Cholamayim. If it's the last day, they put on tefillin, so it's not really Yom Tov. Some Achareb hold them, not allowed to cook for them. Why not? They're not a goyim, they're not a dog. Why can't I cook for them? Because it's not yontif for them. And you can't cook for somebody who it's not yontif for. And that's the reason why you can't cook life from the yontif b'chol. And that's why Rabbi needed hayol. That's why Chizdu denied hayol, held him as also b'na Torah. That's the beard rash yeshiva. Maybe it's yontif for a baby. Why not? He's Jewish. He's chai b'mitzvahs. He's not bar mitzvah yet. I'm not allowed to cause him to do malacha. He's still a bar chayuva in that sense. I can't be marshal him. I can't ask the baby to do malacha for me. So Yonder speaks to the babies. No, Ben Eretz Yisrael, it's Bamish Lai Yonder for Motiyah. Look at me. There are details with the Rabbanon. I can't ask him to do he can't do malacha. It's bar sa'ah. Yonder has the details, but it's not Kedush Yonder for him. Yes, it's a Kedush Yonder for the baby, yeah. You mechavet to the Prima Gadim's Kasha Lecha Shechita. There's a din that Taisus writes that a goy can't shech because you have to be metzuva bedover in order to be able to shech. So the Prima Gadim asks, how can a katan shech? Misha says, a katan can shech, long somebody watches him, a katan can shech. He's not metzuva bedover. He is metzuva bedover. I'm not allowed to feed him treifas. So Nevela speaks to him, Shechita speaks to him. He's not a mechui bedover, but the mitzvah speaks to him.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Is this similar to the beer that we gave on Rashi about a meal that was...
Oh, it's coming. It's coming around the bend. You stole my next line. It's not fair. You're a Gaza. You got to pay twice. You got to say two good pshatim next time. You're a Gaza, not a Gaza. Gaza doesn't pay. If you destroy the pshat, if you kill the pshat, you have to pay down. Hey. So if I say, we just created Yesh Me'ayin. We're like just rubbish, inventing, creating new dinim deraisa here. We just said that the nature of the din deraisa of not cooking for goyim and klavim is based on because it's a midi d'chol. And then we said, and that's the reason why you need hayo. And now, David's going to connect us to what we said yesterday. This is the same you said as what? Why can't you burn kachim and yontif for beisa? What did Rashi, the Heiliger Rashi in Shabbos Kufam Gimel say? Why can't you burn kachim and yontif for vos nit? Davar is mutter and yontif. Why not? It's a tzarech hayoyim. Why not? Why can't you burn kashrim? Why can't you burn kashrim and yontif? What's the answer? What does Rashi say? Because it's what? What did Rashi say? Why can't you burn kashrim and yontif? What's the lumdus? Davar is... Because it's yesterday's mitzvah, not today's mitzvah. It's a tzarech achol. We now have three different versions, three different variations as to what tzarech achol means. It means all of the above. It could be called tzarech achol if you're doing a malacha for somebody who doesn't observe this yontif, who does not shayach to this yontif. That's called tzarech achol. If you're doing something for tomorrow's calendaric day, that's called tzarech achol. And if you're doing something that emanates from yesterday, that's also called tzarech achol. All of the above fall under that general heading of whenever there's chol involved in the equation, it is significantly worse than shlo tzar chayayin klal. And that is the answer to Tosis Kash against Rashi. Why the Amoraim are draining us a cup of wasting a time with Hoyo? What happened to Mitoich? So unlike the Shid Bukubetzes who said that in Ochinami, if you really believe in Mitoich, then you don't need Hoyo. No. You can believe Mitoich for tomorrow and you still need Hoyo. Because Hoyo has to address, has to minimize the fact that there's an apparent Tzarech HaChol going on here. And for that reason, Rav Chisda says, you have Mapas and Rabu is Bechadish. No. Because of the guest, there's Nishke Midi Dechol. Because you could still hide behind calling it a Tzarech HaYoyim Aviyantiv. Because the guest may show up. You could choose between the Shid Bukubetzes and the second Pshat. The second Pshat is presented by El Meishivis, the Echranim, it's a Ma'ilub Ma'ad Rabbanim. So basically, let's see if we can take the Sugi a little bit further. Sugi is just barely starting. His Machlek is Rashi and Tesis. Is Mitoich Matel Agamre, or are there certain limitations on Mitoich? Shlo Tzarech Hayayim Klal. What do you think that Machlekes depends on? A Lomdus. Forget about the Raya's. What do you think the Lomdus that Machlekes is? Can Taizim Psochim, the family Bey said it, the Ran said it in Psochim, Taizim Beitzir Bey said it, all of Yishayim are saying this idea, you need Tzarech Hayayim Tzas, and Rashi saying no, nothing whatsoever. Don't get mixed me up with Chol, but Shlo Tzarech Hayayim Klal, Klal is Machlekes. Het the gom, and for sure het the gom. What do you think the nature of machlokes is? Is there something really fundamental going on here? Namely, Eichel Nefesh is a very, very fascinating concept because you can really understand Eichel Nefesh in one of two ways. What did I think before the Torah said, Ach, Hashir, Ach, Eichel Nefesh? What was my starting point? What was my baseline? So we can understand the baseline one of two ways. You didn't understand the baseline was that all malachas are awesome. Ain't been yonder the Shabbos. Forget about Havar and Chum and Shvitz Behem. Forget about those things. If it's a shame, I'll leave out a malacha guru. If it's a shame malacha on, it's a full-fledged, bona fide malacha, so it should be also in yonder, finished. The starting point should have been, it's also the Kukon Yontif. And the Torah is mechadish to me that, no, you're allowed a Kukon Yontif. It should have been also, but the Torah said it's okay. We're used to that model. This is not the first time we have such a model. Can anyone give me other examples where the starting point should have been also, but the Torah says no, the Torah trumps it by saying it's okay. Give me another example of that. I'll give you 100 examples of that. The starting point should have been you're not allowed to do the farm activity.
Eilev should be Asur Bahano.
That's a very lomdish starting point. So that is correct according to Rabbi Abel and the Pesach of the Chabez, but we're going to have to steer clear of that one. Give me an easy one, even has the word nefesh in it. What's the starting point in Halacha? The starting point is a person's life is in danger, but it's Shabbos. The Shabbos, let's ask a malacha. Either guy's going to die, let's ask a malacha. Comes the Torah and says, no. V'chaybem, v'shomru, et rasha adoy, et rasha azoy, et rasha azoy. And the Torah tells us that afa p'chein evil, the baseline was clearly that you can't be b'chal Shabbos, you can't do a virus to save people's lives. Like, v'hechat ta'isei, the Torah says, you're not allowed to do malacha, not allowed to do malacha. It's an unbelievable chiddush Torah that you're allowed to do malacha. So of course you're b'chuyiv to. That's the Chiddush HaTorah. So we know whenever the Torah has these kinds of models that the baseline is also, and now the Torah is mechadash with an unbelievable thing that it's mutter. There's always a very, very famous chakira that's raised, but we must have spoken about it this year already. If not this year, the past years. T'choy in Hutra, we didn't talk about T'choy in Hutra yet this year. Last year, what did we talk about last year? Who remembers? I don't know what I did. What did we talk about last year? Between Hutra and your dad. What? Last year, this year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 100 years ago. Okay, sometime we talk about it. So the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma, the Vav, raises the question, whenever you have these kinds of models, that the starting point was Osir, and then the Torah trumps it. So is the nature of that din, the chuya, that it's fundamentally an aveira what you're doing, but it's an aveira, you have no choice. The Torah, the Baruch Shalom is telling you to do it. The Baruch Shalom is telling you to do an aveira. So when you get into your car and you're driving Shabbos to save the chayla, you're doing chil Shabbos, you're mechal Shabbos. The Baruch Shalom says to do it. You don't have to clap a chayt for it. But it's called a Maisa Chil Shabbos. It's a Chil Shabbos that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a freebie on. And the other day is, no, it's not the Chuy, it's Chutra. That means the Torah is saying, for a Makom Chil Shesh Masakana, today's Tuesday, it's not Shabbos. It says in the calendar Saturday, no, it's really Tuesday. So that's a very, very important Machlag. That's a major Machlag. It's a major, major Machlag to Rishayim. The Gemara has those two terms, Chuy and Chutra, and Gabi, something totally different. And the Rishayim borrowed those terms, the Gabi Shabbos. This is a tremendous Nafkamina's Ladin. I don't have any idea what kind of Nafkamina Ladina that is. How much you have to avoid it? How much you have to bend over backwards to avoid Chil Shabbos? That's going to impact significantly on some very, very real shilas in terms of doctors and all kind of Chil Shabbos, because nefesh issues. It's a major, major question. But everybody agrees that Pikuach Nefesh is the overrider. Whether Pikuach Nefesh is the docha, or whether it's the matir, so that's a lumdish terminology, and it's important. Nafkaminas, but kliyam alapligi that there was something there. There was chul shabbos there. Whether it's still there or not is up for grabs. Is that what the oichal nefesh and yontif is all about? Also, that really oichal nefesh, the starting point is that if you can't do on shabbos, you can't do on yontif. Ain't can work on Saturday. Ain't can work on a holiday. You can't work on yontif. I can't do all three on halachas. The Torah says there's a parish for oichal nefesh. You want to pilpul the chuyah hutra, you can pilpul that, whatever you want to pilpul, gizudah, gizudah, pilpul whatever you want. Is that the pshat? Or maybe we got it totally wrong. Maybe what Ochel Nefesh is telling me is that you totally and completely misunderstood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to refrain from on Yontif. Cooking on Yontif is not a malacha that we have to figure out, is it the chuyah, is it hutra? Cooking on Yontif was never awesome. Drinking a water bottle was never also on Yontif. Cooking on Yontif was never also. Reading a Taisa was never also on Yontif. Carrying a bottle of wine to the sukkah was never also on Yontif. Whatever Zeichel Nefesh was never Bechlal and Yisrael altogether. I don't need a Matya, I don't need a Deichel and anything. It was a Bechag Losa Teira. What do you mean? What do you mean Losa Teira? Is that true? Losa Teira? I understand. Is it a Malach? Doesn't the Taisa say you can't do Malacha? Who gave you a different definition of Malachas? What's the answer? Who is the Rishon that says the second shot in the strongest, strongest terms? They're on Battle of Torah. In front of the Ramah Kermis. They're Battle of Torah. The Pesh Zemor. The Ramban develops this theory that says, if you look really carefully in Chumash, you'll notice that there's a term that's used time and time again for Yontif that is never, ever, ever used on Shabbos. And for that matter, never used on Yom Kippur either. But of all the Pesh Zemor, the check, it's a term that's used time and time again in Yontif and doesn't ever appear Shabbos nor Yom Kippur. What's that term? What's the term? Malachas Avodah. Called Malachas Avodah Lo Sasu. The Torah never says in Shabbos, called Malachas Avodah Lo Sasu. What does the Torah say? Lo Sasa, called Malacha. Called Oysa Malacha. The Torah never uses that phrase, Malachas Avodah, except for Yontif. What is the difference between Malachas Avodah and Malachas? The Ramban develops this entire theory in his Parashat Chumash. Ramban says that Malacha means Malachas HaMishkan, finished. Any 39 constructive activities that we use in the building of the Mishkan, done, finished. That's a Malacha, that's it. Does it take a lot of sweat? Does it not take a lot of sweat? Is it labor? Is it not labor? Do people consider it to be hard work? So it's irrelevant, completely irrelevant to the discussion. I'm carrying a handkerchief in my pocket. That's the same malacha as a guy who is building, spending the entire day building a structure, building a building. A guy sweating in the field, being chayrish, zarei, and kreitzer, is the same exact malacha as a guy who strikes a match on Shabbos. Not an iota of difference. When they say, Rabbi, come on, you're not allowed to work on Saturday, but that's not called work, because that's so easy. That is totally, completely misunderstanding what Malacha. Malacha has nothing to do with sweat. Malacha has to do with Malacha's Mishka, constructive activity, productive, that it does as Malacha. But the Torah doesn't say don't do malach in yavam. The Torah says don't do malach zaveda in yavam. What's the way malach zaveda is up there in Ramban? Malach zaveda is much closer to the, almost like to the secular model of work. Not quite the same, but very similar. You can't go out to the farm and start, you know, plowing. That's malach zaveda. You can't go out to start building a building. That's malach zaveda. You can't do the laundry. That's malach zaveda. In the old days, a lot of work. That's malach zaveda. Cooking? I want to eat lunch today. That's malach zaveda. I'm going to my friend, and I want to carry a bottle of wine to the sukkah, but there's malach zaveda. Malach, yeah, if it happens to be Shabbos Yom Tov for the same day, that's a big problem. That's malach. Malach zaveda is nisht. Zok the Ramban, malach zaveda conjures up a certain image of outdoor, hardworking, sweating kinds of malach. Again, it's not a perfect model. There are a few in there that you don't sweat too much for, true. But you understand the basic model the Ramban's constructing for us. Things that are more householdy, daily kinds of things, just take care of my basic needs of eating. Malach, yeah, malach zaveda nisht. That's the Ramban's theory. And therefore the Ramban writes, when you cook on Yom Tov, I don't have to think a million times over, oh my goodness, I'm doing malacha gevalt, geshrigin, I'm doing malacha all day, can I do it, can I not? You're not doing anything. The turn of acid, malacha on Yom Tov. The turn of acid, malacha zaveda Yom Tov. It's a different imagery, it's a different model, it's a different picture of God. You want to say a little drush, you want to extend this out of the realm of Shabbos after the Lomdish year, put into a sermon for a Yom Tov morning. So I'll explain to you. I'll give you even an understanding why this should be so in the world of Drush also. Shabbos is the Chzeichel of Mesebrashis, so we're commemorating HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Shevis and Malacha. The Rebbe Hashem, there's also something as Malach Zavoid in the Rebbe Hashem's realm. The Rebbe Hashem did constructive activities, the creative things, so we're not allowed to do anything that's creative. So when I strike a match, this is creative. All right, Malacha Guru, I'll leave that out of the picture. I do these little light little things. I cook an egg, it's very creative. I had a raw egg, I have a cooked egg. I cooked a bowl of soup. I used to have a pot of water. Now I have a pot of chicken soup. So those are creative activities, constructive, creative, productive activities. Those are asur b'nata. Those are malachas. On Yom Tov, Yom Tov is not a zeichel by sebrachus b'chlal. Why is there a nisim malacha on Yom Tov for long? Why is there a nisim malacha on Yom Tov? Why did the Torah say you have to have a nisim malacha on Yom Tov in the world of just pure tami hamitzvahs? Because you have certain times in the year where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to focus our energy is on certain major, major themes. Pesach, he wants us to focus on what Zman Chereseinu is. Well, it's just Mitzrayim. It's Shavuos, Zman Matan Tereseinu. Chachat Bikurim, whatever all the other motifs of Shavuos are. Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu. Paris Leinu, Shlomecha. So many different things. Sukkot, Shafti. So many different important messages the Marshal wants us to think about. If we're going to be out in the fields farming, who's going to think about these things? So the Yisra Malacha is a different kind of Yisra Malacha. The Yisra Malacha is the Rebbe Hashem doesn't want to get distracted away from the themes of Kedushas Hayayim. Again, that was pure hashkaf, a little bit, pure machshav, tabia mitzvahs. But it makes a lot of sense that the Gedarim are very different. Therefore, the actions that don't really detract from the Kedushas Hayayim, or can even argue enhance the Kedushas Hayayim, the cooking is takamutar on Yom Tov. Whereas on Shabbos, it's inconceivable to think you can cook on Shabbos. It's very easy. It's just a split second, I turn on a fire, cook up an egg. But that's constructive, productive activity. That's a problem. So it's a different model of Gamri, says the Ramban. So could this Ramban be the root of the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in terms of Lamaisa, or the limitations of Yitaychina? How do you understand the principle of mitach? It's a wild thing, mitach. You know what's wild about it? The Gemara never gives a mocha for it. They still matirin. Most Amoraim say that means you can push a baby carriage because of mitach. What do we talk? If the Torah says echol nefesh, where did mitach come from? Bishamai never saw it, never heard of it. What's the source of this deep, dark secret of mitach? According to the Ramban, it makes a lot of sense. You know what mitach comes from? Mitach means that we isolate certain malachas and we say, wait a second, these malachas are foody kind of malachas. These are the malachas that generally involve food preparations, the cooking, the kneading, the carrying, the lighting fires. These are food kinds of malachas. And these are not really what? They're not what? According to the Ramban? They're not malachas aveda. If they're not malachas aveda, what's the difference whether I'm carrying a bottle of wine, does nishkin a malachas aveda, or I'm carrying, pushing a baby carriage? According to the Ramban, mitoich shehutro tzol v'tzorich gam shel tzorich means that this malacha, because it's mutter v'tzorich, that's not the reason why it's mutter shel tzorich. It's not a sib, it's more of a what? It's a simon. It's a simon. Mitoich shehutro v'tzorich, if it's mutter v'tzorich, zeben fadot, this is nishkin malach zaveidah. If it's nishkin malach zaveida, so how can it be also to push a baby carriage? How can it be also to push to turn on nershul batala? Can anything be also if this particular malach is identified as a nishkin malach zaveida, so that it's mutal gam and yotif with no strings attached, and therefore there's no limitations, and this sets the stage for what sheet and rishonim, Rashi. Whereas anyone who denies this Ramban, who says, no, you got the wrong model of Echol Nefesh, is a heter Torah. It really should have been Asa's blight, Asa, but Dechui Hut, whatever you want to call it. But the matter is the Tzorech. There's some real Tzorech here. So Basil said, you know, the tzorech need not be mamish food. Even other subtle kind of tzorachim are also tzorachim. Pushing a baby carriage is also a shtickle tzorech. And carrying a lulav, and carrying a machs, and carrying a sevater, carrying a shef, there's also tzorech. The chiddush of Beis Hillel, according to the non-Ramban people, is an unbelievable chiddush. You need a tzorech to be matir, but although in the Teish B'chsav, the only tzorech that the Torah identifies as Echol Nefesh, it's lav dafka echol nefesh. Other kinds of tzorachim are also okay. But what must they be? They have to be what? They have to be tzorich. They're not tzorich. That's like driving to the hospital, but there's no chayla. So of course there has to be a tzorich. We can water down the definition. Tzorich doesn't mean what you can put into your mouth. But it has to be some kind of a legitimate, halachically acceptable degree, threshold of tzorich. So Tosfos is shita. That's putting the focus on tzorech seems to be an antithesis to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, the idea of putting a limit on tzorech is meaningless. If it's not a malach zaveid, it's not a malach zaveid, it's had to go. So the Chayra, the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos Beitza is really just a restating, are you pro the Ramban or anti the Ramban? So we have a lot of work to do, hopefully, from tomorrow. This sets the stage for analyzing this Ramban a little bit further and see which Rishonim did go big with the Ramban and which did not. And how much this is impacting on the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. From tomorrow, we still got more work to do. Okay.